You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome back to the For I Will Be With You podcast for the 23rd week of the year from June 3rd to June 10th. June 9th, sorry. Covering Exodus 38:8 to Exodus 40:18. So we're continuing with this rather long description of the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Israelites have been freed from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt by God, and they are constructing a tabernacle, the Mishkan, in the wilderness for where they can worship God. Exodus 38:8 describes the making of the laver, which was an elaborate wash basin. It says 38:8 says he made the laver of copper and its base of copper. The laver was a vessel that allowed the priests to wash their hands and feet at the same time, and the renderings of it that I've seen in books make it look sort of like two coffee urns on top of each other, one with a spigot to wash the hands and one with a spigot to wash the feet. But an interesting detail of the laver that comes from the question, where did this copper come from? The answer that's given is that the Israelite women contributed their copper mirrors to be melted down and made into this laver. Now, there's a backstory to these mirrors. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, Pharaoh decreed that all the boys should be thrown, all baby boys should be thrown into the Nile to be killed. The Israelite men, decided that they didn't want to be married. They didn't want to have more children if this was going to be their fate. And similarly, they didn't want to have more children if these children were going to grow up to be slaves. So the women, who were more spiritually advanced than the men, understood that this was a mistake. This was caving into Pharaoh and would actually be sort of doing Pharaoh's work for him by denying the Israelites a future. So they used these mirrors to beautify themselves so that their husbands would want to be with them and have more children. So in this time in history, they didn't have mirrors like we have now. Mirrors were, people would take a piece of copper and polish it as a mirror. They didn't have, I don't even know what you call today's mirrors, glass reflection mirrors or whatever. So the mirrors took the sort of the holiness of this act of these spiritually righteous women and put it into this laver that the priests could then use to purify themselves to do the service in the tabernacle. And, you know, as we struggle in addiction recovery, we're like these Israelite men who were really ready to give up. They're like, what's the point? We shouldn't go on. There's no reason to get better. But the women knew better. They knew there would be a better future. And we can also have a better future if we do the work. So we should remember these copper mirrors that could be melted down into this copper laver. Now, at Exodus 38:21, the topic changes to accounting. Exodus 31 says, these are the reckonings, meaning the amounts. These are the reckonings of the materials used for the tabernacle of the covenant law, which were recorded at Moses' command by the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. Okay? That's the team of people who did this. But important detail here is the reckonings means an accounting done by Moses. Many people came forward and donated gold and silver and money and fabrics and other things for the building of the tabernacle. And Moses, acting like the head of a good nonprofit organization, decides to give them a report on how much money they gave and how much money they spent. And that my reaction is this, really? What? Moses. This is Moses. This is Moses, the most righteous man probably who ever lived. He feels he has to give an accounting. Nobody asked him for one. The people, would never have occurred to them to ask Moses for a accounting, like, hey, what'd you do with the money? Moses felt the need to be transparent about handling of other people's money. And what this has to do with, I think, in our lives is the importance of building trust with others through action. Acting in good faith and fostering trust are two of the greatest requirements of sobriety. And when an addict wants to get clean or stop drinking, he or she desperately needs to find trustworthy people to confide in, to share the pain and ask the big questions, someone to trust, like a sponsor, work the steps, get into the heavy stuff. So this verse can make us think about ways to engender trust. And another aspect of this, which is related to trust, is to neutralize the ego. Moses could easily have said, hey, you know, I'm Moses. I don't need to tell you anything. And no one asked him for an accounting, but he offered because he knew that he needed to keep building the trust with people. And this is the way a trustworthy, sober person acts. Exodus 38:22 says, Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, did everything that God commanded Moses. Bezalel, as we've mentioned earlier, was a young man, 13 years old, who was gifted with the ability to be this tremendous artisan and engineer to build the tabernacle. And Bezalel constructed the tabernacle based on instructions that God had given to Moses. So God told Moses how to build the tabernacle. Moses told Bezalel what was necessary to do. But according to the commentators, Bezalel actually, in certain cases, actually understood God's instructions better than Moses did. So that's kind of interesting. He built and created things in ways that Moses had not passed on to him. Like Moses might say, you put the blocks in this order, and Bezalel would put them in a different order. And then Moses would look at it and realize that Bezalel was actually right. So what's going on here? So according to the Talmud, which is the book of Jewish law that has a lot of comments on the Torah, Moses said, you must have been in God's shadow when he talked to me. And indeed, just as a little side note, it's kind of interesting if you're interested in this kind of thing, the word Bezalel means in the shadow of God. Be'in, tzela, shadow, el, God. So when Moses heard God's words, Bezalel was standing in the shadows, hearing the words as well. So for us, I take an interesting lesson here, or something that maybe inspires me, even if I can't do it all the time. So if we can get close to people who live their lives close to God, people of strength and recovery and personal holiness, then we can be in their shadow and pick up on the divine energy that they draw to themselves and share with others. And we could do it ourselves as well. We could make a goal of being in the shadow of God and accept God's will for us in our lives. Exodus 38:24 says, all the gold that was occupied for the work in all the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. So 29 talents of gold is probably, I don't know exactly what a talent is, it's a measurement of weight. It's a lot of gold, but according to the sages, it was a small amount of gold compared to what went into building the later temples. The temple in Jerusalem was a huge structure with an enormous amount of gold in it. It contained, even though it was a similar layout to the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was much bigger and it contained a lot more gold. So here's an interesting thing. According to the sages, they say that the tabernacle in the wilderness was greater in holiness than the later temples. So it's an interesting question. If you looked at renderings of the tabernacle, it was obviously an extremely important place, but it was whatever. It was small, you know. It was made of wood and had cloth coverings and stuff. It wasn't like a fabulous temple like the buildings in Jerusalem, but it was greater in holiness. So there's the lesson I think we can draw from this is gold is nice, right? Gold is great, but righteousness and holiness count more. God rests his presence where there is righteousness. And the generation of the wilderness, the Israelites who left Egypt, they built the tabernacle, they merited the presence of God more than later generations. They were holier. Now there's a parallel to this in AA and recovery. And I think we've all seen this. The rich people come together with people who have a lot less than they do for the common goal of recovery. And money makes no difference. And actually, if you've actually seen this, money can make things a lot worse. AA, all that gold doesn't help you become holy, especially in recovery. And you know, AA meetings usually aren't in fancy places, but they're rich in recovery. You know, I mean, that you can see, and this has been my experience, that the dingiest room becomes a golden tabernacle of recovery when it is infused with holiness and dedication to the service of God in recovery. I mean, the drabbest room becomes a holy place. Exodus 40:17 simply says, the tabernacle was erected. Now, what this actually means is that Moses himself personally set up the tabernacle. This was a double miracle because, for one thing, Moses was in his 80s. He was an old man. And even if he'd been younger, the pieces of the tabernacle were too heavy for any one person to lift by himself. And then, of course, the third miracle, which is the fact that this building could be built at all in the middle of the desert by a bunch of people who, theoretically, didn't have the skills to build it. So it's all miracles. So how did this happen? And the answer is, when God wants there to be a miracle, there's going to be a miracle. You can't rely on God creating a miracle for you in your life, but sometimes God will create miracles for you in your life. And in this particular instance, the symbolism to me is fairly clear, that God can help us lift weights that we could not possibly manage on our own. And I think we've all seen this in recovery, that the sort of the equivalent of, like, you know, the person who lifts up a car to save someone who's been run over by, who, you know, really couldn't lift up something that heavy normally. And in recovery, you know, challenges that we thought were insurmountable become simple when we seek God's help. Each of us in our own private desert of addiction, with God's help, we can transform ourselves into beautiful vessels for God's presence, living tabernacles of recovery. So following this same verse, the tabernacle was erected. This is a great example of biblical understatement. This is a simple phrase describing an event, just can't do justice to it. And it reminds me, having been in the movie business, there's a joke, the longest sentence ever written in a screenplay was four words, Cleopatra ascends the throne, from the 1963 movie Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor. It was the most expensive, longest scene ever shot in movie history, but it only was described in four words. It took weeks and millions of dollars to film that action. So you have here something similar. The tabernacle was erected. We also have an immensely important event summed up in four words. Because this erection of this tabernacle was the first time in history that God had settled his presence in a place built by people. Seems hard to believe, but that's really true. God specifically instructed for this place to be built so that he could rest his presence there. That had never happened before. And we have this in recovery, too, that God will rest his presence among us if we build a space for God's presence. And this doesn't necessarily mean a physical space, although you need a space, right? What do you need for an AA meeting? You need a room, a coffee pot, right? And some resentments, right? But you need to build a physical and mental space for God's presence. And this could mean in recovery that we need to find a space for quiet and meditation in our lives. We need to go to meetings. And then if we seek God, God will make his presence known to us. Now, Exodus 40:18 restates this idea, but a little bit different. It says Moses erected the tabernacle. So there's an interesting interpretation, and I'm going to skip over the complexity of the Hebrew, but one of the famous 14th century commentator on the Torah said that the word "the" in this verse, when he says Moses erected the tabernacle, refers to a different tabernacle. And this is a really profound concept. According to biblical sages, there were two tabernacles, one on earth and one in heaven. So what the Bible is saying here, in effect, or suggesting, is that by building the tabernacle on earth, Moses is also causing a tabernacle to be built in heaven, in God's court, so to speak. And there's a really important concept in spirituality here, which is that our actions in this world are reflected in actions and events in heavenly realms, in realms that we can't see but still exist. And there's, you know, endless commentary and scholarship on this. A lot of it's way over my head and I don't know about, but I know that there's a lot of discussion of this. But for simplicity, the question we can ask ourselves in recovery is that, what are we doing each day in recovery? Are we erecting a tabernacle, or are we creating a golden calf? You know, and are we building or destroying? Are we going forward or going backward? And are we aware of the fact that our actions affect other people in other realms? This is an important aspect of recovery. Like, for example, part of the tradition of anonymity has always been that you're not supposed to mention your sobriety date or your sobriety in public, because, and unfortunately a lot of people don't do this anymore, if you say, "I'm sober in AA," and then you relapse, and people are like, well, I guess AA doesn't work. You've just kind of torn down the tabernacle that you were building for someone else. So it's better to keep anonymity. A lot of celebrities don't hold by that anymore, unfortunately. But anyway, that's the presentation for this week. If you like what you're hearing, I invite you to visit foriwillbewithyou.com, get your free ebook. And if you like this podcast, please consider sharing it with friends and on social media.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast, daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com